Welcome to the Raising Values Podcast, where the traditional family talks. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify, and be sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can support the Raising Values Podcast through Patreon. Bill and Gillian are behind the mic, and we hope you enjoy the show. Good morning, everyone, or afternoon, or whenever you're listening to this. We're back. Phil's back. My other half of the show is back. He had a great, wonderful, amazing time in Saluda for Prepper Camp, and we both decided that I am not missing another one. So,
and I actually heard back from Rick this morning. I don't know if you checked your email. He said that if you, me, and Andrew are definitely coming next year, like, he's happy to have us in the veterans area again.
Sweet. All right. So plan for next year. I think, you know, what I meant to do was get a list of all of our announcements, but I totally forgot to do that in the whole prep of the show. But I do know that, so you haven't passed on. You've uploaded all of the episodes from Prepper Camp to Matter of Fact. So if you were interested in seeing what it's like to be around a bunch of other preppers and people that live the lifestyle and ideas that are coming out of Prepper Camp, definitely head over to Matter of Facts and watch those episodes. They did a lot of really good interviews. So in a newsletter, I keep saying a newsletter is coming. It hasn't come out yet. And the other thing that, well, besides, so you got Prepper Camp. I'm sorry, my brain is a little scattered this morning. Obviously, it always is. But Women Who Prep Conference is ready, and the tickets are on sale. You can go purchase those. You want to follow them on Instagram, and their title of their page is Women Who Prep. You can also follow the creator of the conference, who is Allison, over at This Prepared Life. So definitely two good channels or pages to follow on Instagram. So the Women Who Prep Conference, April 20th through the 23rd. It's all online, so you don't even have to get out of your PJs. A lot of really good content that'll be in that conference. And so what I was about to say was, Phil and I had a really, really good long talk on our Wednesday date at the lakefront this past week about becoming a patron of the show and the different tiers and levels and all that stuff. And so we've got to bring Andrew into the fold of that. But what we would like to see happen is more and more patrons coming to the show. So it doesn't have to be Raising Values. It could just be Matter of Facts. It doesn't have to be Matter of Facts. It could just be Raising Values. But a lot of really cool perks that I believe come from being a patron. And of course, the main one is the camping trip, the annual camping trip that we take. It changes every year, but it's an annual camping trip that we all take. So if you're interested in becoming a patron and supporting us through Patreon, that would be really, really awesome. The other thing to announce is that we do have merch now. So we want to thank Chris and Tiffany Brannon, who are patrons of Matter of Facts. They have become the official merch carriers for Raising Values and Matter of Facts. And we will have patron-only discount codes coming soon. So if you are looking for t-shirts and mugs and all sorts of fun gear and things like that from the two podcasts, that's definitely the place to go to get it. And you'll be supporting a small family business, and that's always fun too. So I think I did that pretty well, just, you know, going back through my brain, that's only had one cup of coffee this morning. So,
I mean, for scatterbrain, that's pretty cohesive. I'm impressed.
You know, sometimes I can perform.
I honestly am a little bit rusty. Like the whole technical aspect of podcast producing, I was telling Gillian right before we click go live button. I'm like, I feel like I'm forgetting things, but I don't know that I am. So, I don't know. Like last weekend was a really incredible experience, but I'm not going to lie, I still kind of need to get my feet back wet into this. You know what I'm saying? Like actually,
family life or podcasting?
No. Family life came quick. I'm talking about just like managing the stream and, you know, just like my normal procedure for how to make this not look like a train wreck.
I think you did pretty good. I don't think we look like a train wreck yet so far. I don't know. It's just, we're only what? I can't find the timer, but we're...
Top left.
Oh, yeah. We're only 6 minutes into this show. So anyway, so today's show... I think it goes well with raising values, but it's something that, of course, I pulled off of one of our mama Facebook groups that I follow mainly for the entertainment value of the drama that just ensues in that group. And it's hilarious. And I know we've talked about the mama Facebook groups before on the podcast, but this one was kind of, I don't know, for some reason it stuck with me for a couple of days. And it was about, so just kind of diving into it. We're really close to New Orleans, obviously, and a lot of things happen in New Orleans. And if you've never visited New Orleans, it's a whole bunch of different cultures that are combined. Some of them are there, but separated. You can see all sorts of things and goggles and gaggles and whatever you want to call it down there. But one of the things, so because we're so close and because the city is such a mess with crime and it's so cost effective to come to the North Shore instead of being in New Orleans for events and things like that, which is good for us because it does generate money on the North Shore. But one of the things that changed this year is their annual Fear Fest that was hosted in New Orleans, which is a great place for this considering what New Orleans is all about. But on the North Shore, I mean, a short distance, 23 miles over the causeway, it's definitely a difference in culture, I guess you could say. And it's a difference in what's acceptable for the community up here and what's not acceptable for the community up here. And, of course, very vocal people, you know, they like to give their opinions. And there's nothing wrong with that. You can always give your opinion. But my thing was, okay, so you have Fear Fest. It's now going to be held in Mandeville, which is...
We probably need to talk about what Fear Fest is going to be.
Right, I'm getting there.
Okay.
Fear Fest is an annual Halloween event that has a whole bunch of things. It's, you know, the horror side of Halloween. It's the psychics and mystics and fortune tellers and tarot card readers, and they were having some people who are satanic that were going to be there doing, I don't know, I guess presentations or maybe just there to talk to the group or whatever of guests and things like that. And, you know, just different things that if you walked in the quarter of New Orleans, you would see the tarot cards set up on the side of the street, and you could go get your palm read. And so they were going to have all that stuff. And they did, because it happened this weekend.
I don't know if it's going to be integrated into Fear Fest, but also like there's a very prevalent voodoo vibe throughout New Orleans because of the history of New Orleans and some of the groups that immigrated into it. Like you do have, I mean, there are literally like little shops set up throughout the quarter where they do like, they have voodoo priests. They're just waiting for somebody to come in. It's a vibe. But up here, you know.
Yeah. And they were going to have celebrities from different horror films and things like that. They were going to make, you know, they were going to have areas that you could go meet people that were in a lot of the movies that people watch. And so it is, because it's still going on tonight. It is something that just, I think, really scared a lot of people on the North Shore. There's a reason why a lot of people don't go to New Orleans, and it is because it goes against the grain of their culture and religion. And I totally respect that. I guess what really caught my attention and what continues to catch my attention in the community that we live in is it's the Christian aspect. Now, let me lay this out. And I was talking to Phil about this on our walk yesterday. I am a Christian. I have always been a Christian. I was raised in a Christian household. We have a Christian household. Piper's raised in a Christian household. She is saved. My husband was raised Catholic. I was a Protestant, dirty Protestant.
Dirty Catholics.
And dirty Catholics. And we meshed somehow. Anyway, that's how we run our house. Right beside me on the wall are all these wonderful scriptures that, songs, lyrics from songs that I grew up singing. And there's crosses in our house, and we pray when we pray together as a family, and we just live a Christian life. Now, we don't go to church, and there's a whole episode about why we don't go to church anymore. And I think that that's okay, because we do worship and we do fellowship with other Christians and things like that. And I think it's safe to say that the Christian religion is changing. I think that it is evolving, and I don't think it's evolving in such a bad way. I do think that Christians are persecuted. I feel like they're persecuted a little bit more these days, which is one of the reasons we started the show, was because we wanted to give a Christian viewpoint of what it's like to raise a family now, a young family in today's world. I keep saying a lot. But the difference between myself and my younger self when I was growing up in my family and the community that I grew up in North Louisiana, which was all these, everyone went to church. I mean, if you didn't go to church, you were sick that day or whatever, but everyone was in church, and it didn't matter really what church you went to, because we all went to everyone's church. You know, the youth groups and the different churches always hung out together anyway. We always went to their church, or they came to our church, or whatever. But I noticed this growing up, and I questioned it. And I see it so much more now, I guess maybe because I know to look for it, is, what did you call it? The bully pulpit Christians. The bully pulpit,
yeah. It's the type of Christian that tries to use like fear, shame, some kind of malicious intent to like encourage a person into Christianity, which I've not even in the context of religion, but like my personality does respond well to the bully pulpit. It's like if somebody says do this or else, I choose or else. I want to see what you got.
Yeah.
And most people are like that.
And so saying all of that, saying, you know, laying down this foundation of really I am a Christian, I also believe, and this is where people might be like, shun the non-believer. If you got that reference, that's really awesome. But I also believe that I believe in the paranormal. I believe in ghosts. I believe in spirits. I believe in different. I believe that everything is composed of energy. I believe that one day, Phil told me this last night, my goal in life, and we talked about this on Matter of Facts episode, is one day to be an old witch in the woods. And that's where you come see me for all of your medicinal herbs and things like that. And will that really happen? Probably not. But, barefoot, long skirts.
I mean,
you'll find me out foraging and with a little wicker basket, all those Hollywood movies. That's me. That's where I feel like my soul, my, as I get older and as I attend more prepper camps and get more and more into the lifestyle of medicinal healing and things like that, I find myself being drawn to that. And I think it's okay. I also think it's okay to believe in the paranormal. I think it's okay to believe that there are spirits and there are, that when people die, their energy doesn't automatically go to a heaven or a hell. You know, they may be stuck here. And we had discussed that in your Catholic religion, there's a purgatory time, or, and I'm not going to say that right, so I'm not trying to offend anybody that's Catholic.
There's like a fourth realm. You have heaven, hell, the corporeal, the earth realm, and then purgatory. But also, like, within Catholic, and this is even hotly debated in Catholic religion, but there's the idea of exorcism, where there are restless spirits that are still here on the earth, and they attach themselves to people, and that attachment has to be broken. So, like,
demons and things like that.
Even, but that's even hotly contested within Catholicism. Not to mention all of mainstream Christian religions. But I guess what I'm saying is to your point. Like, I think that certain Christians and certain Christian religions try to distill this down to there's heaven, earth, hell, there's nothing else. And my point of view is like, no, if you read a little bit into all of this, there's room for all these other things.
And it's not just reading into it. A lot of my belief comes from experience, and this is not going to turn into a ghost story show. It's really not. But I have had experiences in my life. I can remember, for instance, when my aunt, and if she's watching or listening, you might remember this too. I can remember going to different houses that she was looking to buy, and the two of us would discuss the feeling of that house. What did we get when we walked into that house? Was it a good feeling or a bad feeling? Because I do believe that the women in my family have always been receptive to feelings of energy. We can feel if it's a negative energy. We can feel if it's a positive energy. When we bought this house, it did not have a positive energy. And so we did the things we blessed the house. We blessed Piper's bedroom because that's where the negative energy mostly came from. We knew that there was something walking in this house. We could smell cigarettes. We didn't smoke cigarettes. Our neighbors didn't smoke cigarettes at the time. And so there were things happening in this house. The lady who owned the house, the man and woman who owned the house before us, she died. And she didn't necessarily die in this house, but I believe that her spirit came back here because this was the place they came to for her to pass away. Anyway, so we did what we believed we needed to do. We had the house blessed. We had her room blessed. We went through each room and cleansed it with a blessing. And now it is just, you can, I hope when people enter our house, especially me, when I enter this house, I feel the comfort and the love and the, it's almost like walking into a soft pillow to me. And maybe that's just because this is our safe place. But anyway, I've had experiences my whole life with paranormal. I've had experiences of, my house was built, the house that I grew up in was built on the stable lands of the plantation that was next door. And when I say plantation, I mean an absolute plantation, three stories, beautiful plantation. And we would find all sorts of things, including spirits. So all of that being said, we have an event on the North Shore that goes against the grain of what majority of the community is about. And there were, in this mom's group, there were moms asking questions about it. Where is it? When is it? I can't find anything discussing it, whatever. So they went to the mom group of all places. That is not where you ask questions.
Jesus, no.
it's not where you go for advice because so many of these women are
Karens.
Condescending and just ugly. They're just ugly to women who feel like they're putting themselves out there already. And then the negativity that they get back, it makes you just not want to be a part of the group. So they were asking questions and there was probably a handful. And I went back last night and I can't find these posts anymore. But I wanted to grab some of the comments that these women were getting about Fear Fest. And it was just downright bully pulpit.
How dare you?
Comments. Like, yeah. So to kind of give you an idea, again, they're asking for questions, general questions. Where is it? What time? How much are the tickets? Who's going to be there? Blah, blah, blah. What their response was, yeah, how dare you do this? How dare you be a part of this show. And, you know, Christian, as a Christian, we're supposed to do this and that, and this has nothing to do with Christianity. And it's like, okay, but they're not Christian. Okay, but they don't believe in what you believe in. And I feel like the women who were commenting on this were the first ones to scream out, well, don't push your ideas on me. Don't push your ideas on my kids and blah, blah, blah. And here they are in the comment section beating these women over the head with their Christianity. And I have a good church home for you. You can come sit in my pew and blah, 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 blah. It was just all of these, I think they, and some of them intended to be very nice about this and whatever. And then some of them maybe started off nice and then their Christianity just poof, up in flames, like up in smoke, it was gone. And now their comments are derogatory and name calling and really showing who they truly were, which...
not terribly Christ-like.
And that's kind of what I'm getting at is, as a Christian, I believe that the words that come out of my mouth and the things that I say should be examples of how I live my life like Christ. You know, I'm a human. Of course, I sin. I'm not ever going to make that mark, ever, ever, ever. And I don't intend to strive and kill myself to make that mark. Also, believing in the things that I believe in, and that the fact that we do go against the grain of most common Christians in our community and probably around the world. It's just never something that I'm going to beat myself up to do. I know my place with Christ. I know my relationship with Him, and I know that it's strong and whatever. And I don't have to get onto a mama group and prove myself to them. And I felt like this is what those women were doing. They were proving to the world that they were these good Christian women but also calling these women names and telling them how wrong they were and telling them how lost they were. And it was no way that you were going to ever convince someone to come to your church and listen to the word of God. I am a Christian and I would not want to go to sit in your pew and listen to the word of God, because if that's what you're getting out of it, I'm wondering what's coming from the pulpit. And it can't be what you're spouting, because these women were just, they were awful. And they continued to be awful. Every time someone would post about Fear Fest, they were continuing to be awful. I just wouldn't want to go to your church. And there was no way that you were going to convince me that this, the way you were acting was the way that Christians should be acting. And so one of the things that came out of that was a new hashtag that was being spread around, and it was no love like Christian love. And it wasn't in a good way. It was there was warnings that were coming out if you were asking questions about, there was a lot of things that came, like different comments that came out of, does anyone recommend a good tarot reader? Does anyone, recommend a good palm reader? I'm looking for someone to come and do, a seance at my house or something like that. And every comment after that was, careful, you're about to be drugged by the Christians. And so it makes you kind of want to hide the fact that you're a Christian, because I don't associate myself with Christians like that. That's not the Christian that I am. Maybe not even at one point. No, I was going to say maybe at one point, but no, not even at one point was I. I grew up in a church that was like that. I grew up in a church that was very condescending and very hypocritical, and they would judge people based on what they said and did, but others were, you know, doing the same thing. They were okay to do that kind of thing. You can't pick and choose what parts of the Bible you're going to follow. You can't pick and choose what parts of Christ's teachings and what he says is a sin and not a sin that you're going to accept in your life. You can't do that. And that these women were, I don't know how many times I can say that they were just brutal. They were brutal Christians. And I don't even know if I would call them Christians with the way that they were acting. And yes, Kyle, that is what I see most of the time here. Kyle's comment says they were social Christians. Absolutely. I think it is a status it has become a status. It's not so much a work on your relationship with Christ anymore. It is a status. And it, a lot of what I see here is a status of what church you actually go to. And because there are big mega churches here, or we have, I consider a mega church, considering the small country church that I grew up in. And you have the non-denominational churches and the Catholic churches and the, you know, Episcopalians. And we have such a conglomerate, is that the right word? Such a mixture of religions and churches. And I mean, you take a shot in the dark, you're going to hit a church around here. But I think for a lot of these people, it depends on what church you go to, and that raises your status in society here. And how many times do you go to church? But none of that matters if that is the way you're going to treat people, especially because this is the comment that kept getting thrown around. It's my job as a Christian to spread the word of Christ and bring others to Christ. Well, honey, you're not bringing anybody to Christ. Honey, you're going to get more flies with honey than you are with the venom and the vinegar that you're spouting out in these comments. And like I said, I would never want to go sit in a pew with you if this is how you act on social media. It's very easy to hide behind your phone and type, but I want to know what you are like in real life. And if this example in your comments is what you're showing, I can only imagine what you're like in real life.
Well, I think what we're dealing with here is, and Kyle calls them social Christians. I grew up with the colloquialism, they're Sunday Christians. On Sunday morning,
Sunday, Christmas, and Easter.
Yeah, the whole family is dressed up all nice and pretty. They're in the front row. They're singing the songs. They're doing the, we call it Catholic aerobics, where you stand up, sit down, stand up, kneel down, you know, poking fun at ourselves at the tradition and the ceremony involved. But like they do all those things when everybody's watching. And then as soon as they go home, you know, the wife's neglecting the kids, the husband's neglecting the whole family. Somebody's cheating on somebody. Somebody's drinking themselves into oblivion. Somebody's gossiping to her girlfriends about all the other stuff and all the non-Christians in the community. Like these people are only Christians on Sunday when everybody's watching. And as soon as they're home, and I think that's what this mama group turned into, is a window into the way they live the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
And my comment to you yesterday was like, I have kind of pushed back against this idea. And I can't even say it's Christianity, because Christianity just says that, somebody just said that somebody else used the same term. She's Catholic, Catholic aerobics. So apparently I'm not the only Reformed Catholic to have heard that gag, and I giggle at it. But what I was saying was like, we all understand that as Christians, like, we are called to spread the word of Christ, the word of God, the word of Christ. We are called to spread that. But I push back against this idea, this very narrow idea, that like your job is to stand in your neighbor's front yard and shout at the front of his house the word and read from the Bible and beat him over the head with the Bible until he comes to church. I push back against that. I don't think that's the way to do it. Like I told you the other day, I think if you are open about your religion but not pushy about it, I think if you try to lead by example, in other words, like you try to live as Christ would have. And in the course of that, you're open about the fact that it's not that I'm a Christian because I live my life this way. I live my life this way because I'm a Christian, because I believe in God, because I believe in Christ, because that is an example for us to follow. And I think over time, you will win people over. They will see this is the way they live their life. This is the way he treats others. And this is why. And maybe there's something to that. But we are also that family that, like you said, we've kind of pushed off from organized religion a long time ago, multiple times, because I look at Christianity as a belief. I look at organized religion at this point almost like corporations. You know what I'm saying? They may do good work. They may bring some people to Christ. I can't take that away from all of them. However, I have been extraordinarily disappointed by more than one church and more than one group of churches, like the entire Catholic Church, to me, has really disappointed me over the years. The entire United Methodist Church has disappointed me very badly over the years because they continue to meddle in affairs that I don't believe are theirs to meddle in. They continue to espouse positions that I don't believe you can draw a connection to in the Bible. And my experience with both of those churches, the UMC and the Catholic Church, has been when I've put my hand up and said, guys, I have a problem with this, I get stonewalled. Mm-hmm. And stonewalling to me is not the way you bring people into the fold. Bully pulpit is not the way you bring people into the fold. You bring people into the fold, like if your goal is truly to encourage people to Christianity, it is to be an open, honest, moral, good person, and then to draw the connection between that and your faith.
Yeah.
But again, what I see these women doing is, like, if their goal is to bring people to Christianity, you're doing it the wrong daggone way.
Right.
And I would even go so far as, like, how can I make the least controversial statement here?
Okay. Let me remind you who you are.
Yes. Okay, perfect example. If someone came to my front door and said, I would like you to come to my church, I go to the church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster, I wouldn't scream at them. I wouldn't yell at them. I would just probably say, that's good for you. I don't really believe in the Flying Spaghetti Monster, but you do you, boo. Their belief contradicting mine does not threaten me. It doesn't threaten my family. You see where I'm going with this? Like, it doesn't harm me, so there's no reason for me to get upset about it. And I feel like if most of these people who were screaming this loudly about it were secure in their faith and secure in their family's faith, they would say, this is the information I'm not going to go. Like, yeah. If this was an event that was going on and I had a moral objection to it, I wouldn't say you're a bad person for going. I would just say, if somebody invited me, no thanks, not my thing.
Yeah, and I think
the voodoo, the Satanists, those the pagan elements, those bother me, and it's just makes me uncomfortable. You go have fun. It's just not for me, and leave it at that.
Right, and I think if that's where it had been left, that'd been one thing. But I wanted to read, and I told you that earlier in the show, I said that I went back through the group to try to find these comments, and a lot of the things had been deleted. So, like, I couldn't pull a whole lot, but I did get a couple of things. And this is not just how they reacted on Facebook, these women, but there were people. Let me read you what they ended up doing. It totally got off of social media. They were calling and harassing the employees of the event center, which also happens to be a place where it's a sports center as well. So it's like they have soccer fields, baseball fields, track. You know, it's where everyone goes to do sports in on this side of town. They were harassing them, saying that them and their children were going to burn in hell because they worked there. And at some point, people were going out and spraying holy water on the building, walking around spraying holy water on the building. And then I said the hashtag wrong earlier, but what it ended up being was, there's no hate like Christian love. And that just, like, yeah.
They get that, you, doesn't it?
That really just was like, wow, you're right. The women are spewing on this thing, are spewing so much hate in the name of Christianity. There was something else that was said. Let's see if I can, I'm not going to read through the whole thing. Just going to church doesn't make you a good person or that you get to go to heaven. And then she said, of course, you can catch more flies with honey. Stop making enemies. Mm-hmm. I wish I could have pulled a lot more of the comments because some of them were so mind-blowing. It was just, I really couldn't believe, because, you know, you got to go. Everyone's been on Facebook, social media. You've got to go through a process of actually typing out this comment and reading it to make sure there's no typos sometimes. And then hitting the send button and making sure that it gets posted. So it's not like they were just like falling over their phone and making these statements and then, oops, accidentally hit the send button and now their comment is posted. And they wanted to say these things. And you had said something, and I kind of wanted to go back to, yeah, we don't believe in the whole voodoo that, no, it exists. I believe that those things exist. Voodoo, satanic worshiping, and, you know,
the
pagan and Wiccan and all that stuff. And it's not for us. But something that we said to each other on the walk yesterday was, I am also not so closed-minded in my Christianity to understand that the Christian holidays that I celebrate have a pagan influence. You know, they, or maybe influence is not the right word, but correlation to pagan holidays and things like that. I think people, I guess I fear this a little bit, in that I'm saying I'm a Christian, but I also want to be a witch. When I grow up, I want to be a witch. I believe that God gave us everything on this earth that we need to survive. And we find that medicinally in plants. We find that in the animals that roam, you know, food-wise. We find that in everything that's on this earth. And I don't think that it's wrong for a Christian to believe those kinds of things. I joke and say, yes, I want to be a witch when I grow up and live in the forest and forage for medicine and all that stuff. And I say that a half truth. Yeah, I kind of do. I feel a connection to things like that. And one of the questions that I asked when I posted on Facebook and Instagram about this show was, do you celebrate Halloween? Halloween is not a Christian celebration. It is deeply, deeply rooted in paganism. And it has, I think it's become more of a candy company's,
costume companies.
Yeah, too, costume, yeah. And candy and all that stuff. And then, of course, you have the people that do things like Fear Fest, and they get into the gory and the horror side of Halloween. And, you know, it's a little more acceptable for a satanic person, someone who worships Satan, to come out of the woodwork and show themselves during Halloween. And that's what Halloween's really come to. But it's a pagan holiday. It's a pagan celebration. And we do celebrate Halloween in the fact that I decorate the house. I mean, sitting in front of us right now is a little decoration of different, it looks like little bottles of things you would put in a potion. So it's like raven's wings and monster eyeballs and things. I got them at Target. Yes. And Nina, I do believe that being one with nature is different than worshiping Satan. Absolutely.
But it's not different to some people's mind, which, right, I think is where you were going. Like there are Christians, and I don't want to say it's specific to any one religion, but there are individual Christians that have this very narrow idea of what Christianity is, and things like, well, I want to go out into nature and like forage for stuff and be like the little witch that brews up potions. That's what they hear, and they think that that's evil, that's not Christian, that's this and the other. But like I told you the other day, I'm like, God made those woods, God made you, God made you interested in foraging in nature for herbal remedies, and God put all that out there. How is any of this by default not Christian? I mean, I tend to think it's like the argument I always get into about, I get into lots of arguments with people, but like, you know, if you read the Bible, if you really study the scripture, like God made this entire earth for all intents and purposes to support us. And therefore, there is no moral argument against harvesting an animal to eat it, or harvesting from nature to eat it. God created all this to sustain us. And I look at herbs and medicines the same way. Mm-hmm. But to Nina's point, or I guess to the point I made last night, I agree with you and Nina. I don't think that, you know, quote unquote, being the little witch in the woods that makes the herbal medicine, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But there are Christians who think so, which I guess goes back to the idea that, like, how narrow-minded are you and how fragile is your belief that someone else having the tiniest little bit of a different perspective on Christianity threatens you so greatly?
I mean, I get, when I tell people that I forage for medicine and things like that, I still get these looks. And I actually had a friend that told me of a conversation that someone came to her and had with her about me and the fact that I drink mushrooms and I forage for things like that. And it was in a very condescending way. And it was kind of in a mockery, like, doesn't she drink mushrooms or something? And so, sure, whatever. I'm glad I live rent-free in your head, but,
would this be one of the women that's it's suckling at the teat of Big Pharma with the weight loss shot right now?
I don't know.
Would be incredibly ironic.
I don't know. I would have to talk to you later about who it really was. But anyway, so I'm not afraid to tell people, yeah, I'm going to go drink some goldenrod tea and you're going to see me cutting it down. Of course, it's not growing because we don't have any rain down here. But, you know, I'm not afraid to say those things to people anymore. And to Kyle's point, Kyle had a comment that said it's a made-up holiday like Valentine's. It's actually not a made-up holiday. It was, its roots come from a Celtic festival of Samhain, which was a pagan religion, and it celebrated the welcome of the harvest at the end of the summer when people would light bonfires and wear costumes to ward off ghosts. And I just read that, but
maybe he's referring to the modern.
Yes, as a modern interpretation of what Halloween is. Yeah, of course it evolved, and Valentine's Day evolved. I mean, what's his name?
I don't know.
Saint Valentine. I mean, it's gruesome. He was tortured and beheaded, but we celebrate it with love and hearts and date night. But the man actually died a very, very brutal death.
I mean, most Christians back then did, to be fair.
Yeah. So, I mean, anyway, so we do celebrate Halloween. I love, Piper loves getting dressed up, and we don't really do the gory side of it, mainly, I mean, except now. Piper had recently a project in science class, of all things, of special effects makeup and how to do special effects with the things that you have around your house. And so now my daughter walks around with bloody cuts on her arms and legs and scissors sticking out of her arm. Of course, it's all special effects makeup, but she's really into it now. So there might be an eyeball hanging out of her eye for Halloween this year. I don't know. We might get there.
I did have to warn her that if she, like, comes up to me freaking out and tries to play a trick on Dad, she's going to get a tourniquet slapped on her arm before she gets to explain to me that it's just toilet paper and makeup.
Yeah. But anyway, so we don't really do the whole gory side of it. We're also not dancing naked under the full moon, you know, around a bonfire. And that's just not something that we will do.
I'm a little shy for that.
I don't think we need to do that. Maybe when we get our own property or something, we can dance naked around bonfires. But
I'm Phil's face.
Totally joking. But, you know, that was a question. Like, do you celebrate Halloween? And to what extent do you celebrate Halloween? Are you just passing out candy? Or are all of your lights turned off on Halloween and don't come to that person's front door? Halloween was a fun time for me growing up. And we talked about this on your podcast when we were doing the crazy laws that were still on the books different states. You know, we would leave our house right before the sunset and we would walk all over town. It was almost like the movie Hocus Pocus, and all of the houses were decorated and you could go and you could, you'd come back when you were finished and it was safe and you were fine. And you celebrated Halloween like that. And then, of course, as we grew up and candy became alcohol, you dressed up for parties and things like that. But anyway, so that was my question. Do you celebrate Halloween? To what extent do you celebrate Halloween? And then I really wanted your opinions on your viewpoint. If your town had something like this come to town, would you be out there spraying holy water on the building? Or would you live and let people do their own thing? And maybe that's the libertarian in both of us, and that, cool, you do you, boo, I'm going to do me. And that's just not something that I want to participate in or have my kid around. But some of it is. Like, some of it, I do participate in. The only thing I don't participate in is the tarot cards and the palm readings and the satanic worship, you know.
The stuff that you think is like, I'm letting this in a little too close.
However, I believe that, like I said, voodoo religion exists. And I do believe that those people have a connection to a different realm of energy, they do different things. Like Christians work, I don't know how I'm going to say this. Like, my brain knows what I'm trying to say. Like, we work in two different areas, I guess you could say, of the spiritual realm. That's not making any sense, is it?
Not a lot.
Okay. I don't know. Anyway, I believe that all those things that people worship exist. Obviously, I believe that there is Satan and there's people who worship Satan. I believe that there are people who are voodoo priests and work with, you know, are part of that voodoo religion and hoodoo and things like that. And I believe that there is something to that religion, not necessarily something that I agree with or want to be a part of, but there's something there. Otherwise, I don't think it would have lasted. You know, what was the church of the meatball or something that you said?
The flying spaghetti monster.
Flying spaghetti monster. I think if that were to be created, it would probably fizzle out, just like a lot of the cults have fizzled out. You know, they have their run and then they fizzle out, kind of thing. And I believe in paganism, and I have kind of dabbled in it a little bit here and there. And I don't know. Christianity is where I found myself feeling the most comfortable and where my spirit needs to be. But Fear Fest has come to our town, and there are things that are there that I don't want to be a part of. So I'm not going to go buy a ticket and be a part of it. But that's not to say that I don't believe in some of the stuff that's out there that you would find at that festival. Well, and I'm certainly not going to drag someone on social media because they choose to be a part of that.
And something you said a minute ago, I think might be closer to, I think, what frustrated both of us so badly about this happening was you said that some of our reaction to this might be that we're both kind of libertarian in spirit. You know what I'm saying? Very much like, this is me, you do you, consenting adults, do whatever you want that doesn't hurt other people. Like, you know, we could do a whole hour show about libertarian principles and why we believe that. But I feel like that's kind of where you and I are socially, politically, economically. And as a result of that, I look at what's being done in the name of Christianity here, and it aggravates the hell out of me because I don't think it truly has any Christian basis. Like, you know, probably the closest analog I could offer from the Bible would be if a local church wanted to host something like this on church grounds, then I would be like, hold on a second, like Jesus flipped tables and whipped people because y'all were doing stuff in his father's house y'all weren't supposed to be doing in his father's house. That I would totally 100% agree if the clergy did something like that and the churchgoers of that community raised issue, I'd actually be on the churchgoer side and be like, you're right, this is not the right place for this thing to happen. But to happen at a private venue away from church, why is it your business? Why is it yours to be this ugly about it? If nothing else, just say, I have no idea, no offense, this is not for me. But even then, why comment?
Yeah.
I guess my frustration is more the fact that, like, I think if you are going to loudly and proudly proclaim yourself to be Christian, you have to take a moment of introspective thought about how am I portraying Christianity? Am I living by the tenets of Christianity? Am I following the example of Christ? Because if you're not doing any of that, I think you need to sit down and be a little bit more quiet until you get yourself right. Mm-hmm. And that's what about all this that frustrates me. Because, like, I'm open about the fact that I'm Christian, but I'm not preachy about it.
Right.
I willfully admit I am a vengeful, irritable, slow to forgive person. I know all my failings. I admit all of them. And for all those reasons, I never say I am super Christian, because I'm not. I'm a pretty crappy Christian, pretty average if I do say so myself. Like, I try, I just fail a lot, and that's fine. But for somebody to take the aggressive stance they have with other people and to, like, beat them over the head with the Bible, I just want to line them all up in a row and be like, raise your hands if any of y'all have done this, 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 or this. Because if any of y'all have sinned, y'all need to sit down and shut up. Mm-hmm. Like, I know that sounds ugly, but there's a saying that you never trust a skinny cook or a fat doctor, because you very obviously are not practicing what you're preaching. And, like, I think back to if someone tells me they're Christian, or even worse, if somebody's a church leader and I know for a fact they're not living by the word, I get very irritable very quickly. Mm-hmm. Because you're not practicing what you preach. And if you preach, well, that's Satan and we shouldn't be involved in that, then I'm going to start to ask questions about, do you gossip? Do you envy? Are you greedy? Are you lazy?
Well, they were being asked, like, people were asking, like, what does it matter to you? And why are you commenting like this? And it was almost like a copy paste that these women started doing was, well, I'm a Christian and it's my job as a Christian to bring others to Christianity. And I really wanted to just throw my phone at that point. Just like, I wanted to be like, okay, let's reread these posts. Let's reread all your comments. And then you tell me if you would want to be your friend, you know?
But I guess my perspective on that is really, like, I look at trying to bring a person to Christ, like trying to invite them over to my house, you know what I'm saying, for a social event. Like, if I just met a random person and said, hey, I'm having some friends over this Saturday, we're going to get together, we're going to hang out, we're going to get to know each other better, why don't you come? And they say, no thanks. And then I immediately get more aggressive, more angry, more vitriolic. Do you think that person's going to want to come over to my house?
Well, and that's what one of the comments was. She was giving her, I actually took a screenshot of hers. She said, someone very dear to me was very religious, and it got more extreme as she got older. And every conversation was where I was going to church. And when I didn't have an answer, I was chastised. And she was probably the person I love the most in the world, but I pulled away and I couldn't handle it. I knew that regardless of how great the conversation was, it would end in a church lecture. I personally am not a horrible person. Well, depending on who you ask. Same girl. I do lots of things for others. I believe it's more important to do good in the world than just to go to church. And that's sad, but it's so true. It's like, Christianity is just the topic that we've chosen for the day. But if you beat someone over the head so many times about a certain subject, eventually they're going to pull away. Like, okay, we're done. We've talked about this. I've given you my opinion, and either you respect it or you don't. And obviously you don't if you continue to bring this up. And so I think that's where a lot of people are. And unfortunately, I think most of these women did more of a disservice to Christians than they did a service for Christ, doing and saying all the things that they did. And I guess the takeaway would be, really, if you claim to be a Christian, think about your actions first. If God or Jesus was standing or sitting in front of you and you had a group of people around you, how would you talk to that group of people knowing that God can hear you? And I think that's what people forget, is like, He's all knowing. He can see it. He knows what you're saying. And would God kind of look over at you and be like, dude, like, bring it down a notch. That's not how we bring people to worship me or whatever. Then don't say it. And I think that's the takeaway, is you've got to read your audience. There are other ways to bring people to Christ. And the way that these women were doing it was not it. It was totally wrong. And it, like I keep saying, it made me turn away. It made me be like, I kind of don't even want to tell you I'm a Christian, because now they've set the tone for what a Christian is. And that is not me. I am not those women. But the damage had been done, and there was no way, with just the knowledge of me being a Christian, I was not going to be able to save that. At all. And so, like I said, a disservice to their Christian faith, and just the way that they handled it was totally wrong. It just was totally wrong.
Yeah. I want to circle back around before we go any further forward. Something you said earlier about living a good life and doing good in the world, and that being more important than going to church. I know this is something that you and I kind of tripped over when we were figuring out how to merge our Christian beliefs.
Dirty Catholic and dirty Protestant.
Yeah. Well, but I had said to you that, like, just sitting in church is not enough to get to heaven. Like, you have to, I think I may have used the phrase do good works, which kind of puts you off, because your point of view was, like, if you're saved, you're saved. Doing things doesn't get you in heaven. And my point to you, and I think my point to the audience would be, if you believe, you will live your life according to that belief. You will do good works because you believe. In other words, like, the good works is not what gets you into heaven. Believing in God, accepting Him as your Lord and Savior, gets you in heaven. But if you truly believe in Him, and you believe in the Word, and you believe in the Bible, and you believe in Jesus, if you believe all that, you are compelled by your belief to do good works. You're compelled to be a kind person. You're compelled to help your neighbor. You're compelled to do all these things. You can't, it's not that this gets you into heaven. This is a byproduct of this, which does get you into heaven. And when I see people behaving, when I see Christians behaving like this, I really do question. And it may be totally unfair, I seriously question how deep their faith is, because I don't see how you read the same Bible I did. You believe in Jesus Christ. You believe in the same God. I don't see how you believe all that and you behave like this. Like, again, I admit my failings. I screw up a lot. And I would like to believe that maybe, just maybe, this was like their moment of weakness where their Christianity slipped and they behaved like buttheads. Mm-hmm. But I'm sorry to say, I've run into enough of this before around other Sunday morning Christians or social Christians. I don't think this was a one-time thing. I think there is a pervasive thread through people that claim to be part of a group because of the status they feel like it grants them, rather than true belief. And I look at it as, I don't think many people would be shocked to hear that you and I are Christians, just because of the way we live, because of the way we treat each other, because of the way we treat others. But I think that if some of these people had never said, I'm Christian, and you just watched the way they treat each other, they treat others, and then they said they were Christian, I think you'd give them a look. Like, really?
Yeah, I really wanted to comment back to a lot of them and be like, let's reread this together.
But a voice spoke outside of you that said, forgive them, they know not what they do?
No, really, they said, my God, they're being such Karens.
Yes.
Anyway, it is what it is. I've been saying that a lot. It is what it is. It made it, I think, a good topic for the show today. And I'm hoping that it gave you some thought, something to think about. But in my true witchy form of who I am, energy on Earth is changing as we're going to fall. And so things are going to start slowing down and harvest your herbs. There's a lot of herbs out there that you can harvest for the winter. And, you know, just kind of take in the slowness of the energy out there. And happy Halloween. It's actually one of my favorite. It is right up there with Christmas. It might even be, I don't know. Christmas and Halloween are like right there together. I love Halloween. I love it. I love everything about it. I love the changing and the energy of the earth, and I love the spookiness of it, and I love that. I just love it. I love Halloween, and I will always celebrate Halloween. And whether I celebrate it in a pagan form, or if I celebrate it in, I'm going to go eat that entire bag of candy that's on the counter right now, not going to do. I'll celebrate it however I feel comfortable celebrating it, but I'm also not going to make you feel bad in the way that you celebrate Halloween or not celebrate Halloween. So from us, happy Halloween, happy Samhain, happy harvest, happy whatever. Yeah, and that's it.
And I would just say in closing, I would just say in closing, like, be very mindful about, Nina. I would say be very mindful about how you represent whatever it is you represent through your actions, through your words, through mm-hmm. your personality. And that's not just if you're Christian, be careful how you represent Christians, but like, We belong to a community of survivalists and preppers. We have to be mindful of how we represent that community so that others don't think we're the crazy tinfoil hat people and realize that, you know, we're kind of normal. And we have to be mindful, like, to get down to the most basic of it. I've told our daughter on several occasions that whenever you're having an interaction with someone else, always be mindful how you represent yourself to bystanders. Because, like, somebody can be a jerk to you. You could be a jerk back, feeling totally within your rights. But everybody around you might think, well, my daughter is a jerk. She's just ugly to people. Totally not understanding that this is a response to somebody else.
Don't hit the camera.
So...
sorry.
You always have to be. You always have to be mindful of how you represent yourself, how you represent your family. That was something I grew up with.
Yes.
Like, your last name is my last name, so when you go out and act a fool, it makes me look bad too. It makes your brother look bad. It makes your mom look bad. It makes all your cousins and everybody else who has your last name look bad. Mm-hmm. So I would just say that as a cautionary note in parting, whatever community you represent, even if it's as basic as yourself and your family, be very mindful about how the way you behave portrays that community, and understand that it's like chucking a rock into a pond. It's going to ripple. There's no way it can't.
Right. All right. Well, we hope y'all have a great rest of your day or week or whatever. Next week, we are trying to decide when we're going to put out a show. It will not be live. So just FYI, if we do put out a show next week, it will not be live because we will be little Christian pagans running through the woods next weekend.
Yeah, we might pre-record something, time and energy allowing. We might do something in the evening when we get home. We might just skip next week. I don't know. Those are conversations that we have yet to have because it is like, you know, 11 a.m. on a Sunday morning.
Yeah, so anyway. All right, guys. Well, we'll see y'all next week, maybe. And then if not, we will see you the following week. And I hope you have a great rest of your weekend and whenever you listen to us. Thank you for watching and tuning in.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.